everybody. Welcome to episode 155 of your Overseas Connection. Today is February 14th, 2012, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. And, well, everything is as it should be once again. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and filling in for me most admirably, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yes, Matthew, Greg. Yes. Still my last name.
Still your last name. Hasn't changed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's show. I'm still CPM1376 on Xbox Live and CP Matthew on PlayStation Network.
Yeah. And for the folks at home, we call that what just happened there a little foreshadowing. Go to the outtakes. That's all I'm saying.
Listen to the outtakes.
Yeah. Also with us, Mr. Michael Chin, or Mike Chin, I guess. It really isn't Michael. I want to call you Michael, but Mike Chin.
Do you hear this noise, Greg? That's me leaving the show, Greg. No. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Woohoo! Happy Valentine's
Day. Show the love. Yeah. Show the love there. It's the happy, make sure you feel guilty about not buying your partner a card day and rushing out and getting one last minute, which is what usually, you know, men do.
Oh, let me tell you, I pulled that on my wife last night. We celebrated Valentine's Day a little early, decided not to get caught up in the madness of the actual day. And, you know, made a nice little dinner last night, come out, bring out a couple cards. She looks at me. She's like, I thought we said we weren't doing this. And I just started laughing because the same thing happened to me last year. So, yeah, it's payback.
That's all right. My Valentine's Day dinner was a bacon pizza and some buffalo wings.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think I kind of like your Valentine's Day.
Will you marry me, Chris? How's everybody doing?
I think we're good. Yeah, we're really good. We are expecting Mr. Richard Primrose to join the show any moment.
Did you hear the reason why he's late?
I don't know the official reason. I would love to hear the official reason.
This is the God's honest truth. What he texts me why he's late for the show. He's watching a film with his mother, and he can't get away.
It happens. I can't say I've watched a movie with my mom in a long time, but, you know, we know Rich, he's kind of mama's boy.
You know, God bless him for spending time with his parents. Most of us don't spend enough time with our parents, and we regret it later. So, good on you, Rich.
No,
also,
definitely.
If I try and watch a film with my mother, all right, because my mother likes action films, right? And, she gets excited when there's a new Bond film coming out or whatever. And every time I watch a film, she just falls asleep. And I have to all the film is me constantly just trying to keep her awake.
Now we should get your mom together with Rich, and I'm sure they would have a blissful night's sleep.
There you go. They wouldn't see
in front
anything.
Of the telly. They would just fall right asleep.
And that's probably what Rich is doing.
Wait a minute.
He's probably falling asleep.
Is Greg really trying to set your mom up with Rich?
Not set up. Let's not.
One thought?
Let's keep this going. There.
You say my mom's not a good catch, eh?
I'm saying Primrose might not be the catch. Are you going to trust him with your mother? Is what I'm saying.
Probably not. No. This conversation's gone in a direction that I don't think you was expecting to go, Greg.
No, not exactly. Not exactly.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, thanks for that, Chris. All right, well, let's dispense with the pleasantries and let's just dive into what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, Mike, why don't we start with you? What's going on there?
Still busy, still a busy man, me. But basically, Greg, the reason why I'm so busy is because business and master's degree, kind of juggling them. And some of the work that's for the master's degree has been done now, been done. So hopefully next week I'll be playing a bit more stuff.
So what you're trying to say
is all I've played is demos.
Demos aren't bad. Demos can be good.
Yeah. I played Amy.
That's bad.
That is awful. And I thought, yeah, it can't be. Craig, it can't be that bad. It can't be.
No,
but
it could.
But it is. It is. It is terrible. So, yeah, good luck with that. And then I played Syndicate. And I enjoyed Syndicate. I thought that was a good game.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I played it with some co-op people that I didn't know. So they ran through it very quickly. And I think most first-person shooter co-op games are very quick. Which puts me off a little bit, you know, in any game like that, like Borderlands or Halo. People move very quickly if you don't know them. And I think that can harm a game because, you know, you're running through these rooms, you're not taking anything in, you're not going at your own pace. So it suffers from a bit of that, so I wish they would slow you down a little bit. But I like the fact that you can heal from far away, and you know, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the healing was a nice mechanic. I think I was surprised at how far you actually could be and heal somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty, you know, like... It didn't. Yeah, it wasn't afraid to just say, "Hey, you know, you can be quite far away and you can heal them and get quite a lot of XP for it as well." So you could easily hang back, be out of danger, and help out the team as well. So I thought it was a nice touch. You know, nothing amazing about it, but it was definitely good. You know, like it was a positive demo. You know, you play a demo and you pretty much know if you're going to spend more, if you think, well, I'll invest more time in this when it comes out or whatever. And I definitely finished that demo going, yeah. You know, and it gives you the little dubstep trailer thing that came out a couple of months ago. And you're like, yeah, that's all, that looks all great. So, I think they've done a good job. It's a good game.
Alright, so Syndicate in the bag. It was positive experience. Any other positive experiences, or was that the crux of the week?
That's it, I'm afraid. I've got Darkness 2 still, the demo still on my desk. And I don't know why I played Amy before that. I have no idea.
I can honestly say I have no clue why you played Amy before that.
I think because I'm a person that always saves the best till last, Greg.
Mm, okay.
So if I have something, I was talking about this to somebody. I can't remember who, but there's this candy in the UK called Opal Fruits. But they're called Starburst now. It's a long story. That's a big debate that people fight over still. But anyway, this candy has four different flavors, right? And it has, I don't know what the real flavors are, but the based in color, really. Purple, orange, green, and red, right? And since I was a child, Greg, I would always save the red till last because it was my favorite. And I think that mentality, right. And I think, you know, that was the reason why I took so long to play Mass Effect 2. For people that don't know, I bought Mass Effect 2 day one and waited a year, exactly a year, January 2011. To play it because I was saving it because I knew it was going to be a good experience. I've done the same thing with Skyrim. I played it because everybody was talking about it, but I put it away because I know I'm going to really enjoy it, so I'm just going to save it until I relish it and I need a good game. So yeah. I always save the best till last. So I think I'm going to like Darkness 2. I'm just like, which is dangerous because I might not like it, but from what I heard, I think I'll probably like it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little Darkness 2 in just a little bit, but... I guess for now, let's shift over. Yeah, that's you done. I mean, the Mass Effect 2 business, let's just face it, Mike. That was ridiculous. That was
slightly ridiculous. Yeah. I do admit that. That was...
Only a little bit ridiculous.
Just a little bit ridiculous.
But the thing is, you know, Red Dead Redemption came along that year and, you know, all these... Right. I mean, 2010 was a bit of a crazy year for games as well, so...
How did it get through a year of recording at least two video game podcasts a week without having Mass Effect 2 spoiled?
I don't know. It was. I remember skipping a lot of spoiler alerts. I remember that.
Probably because a lot of people talked about it. Something. Would you just plug your ears and go la la la? Can't hear you or what?
I just click my iPod, scroll until I kind of hear them stop talking about it, and.
Right now.
Mike has a unique ability to tune us out, Chris. Much like guys do with women, Mike tunes us out at whim.
Yeah. Clearly, he's tuning me out because he's not hearing what I'm saying.
Say it again.
Not like right now you're listening to the show later. I'm talking like right now. What's happening now is happening now.
Oh, I see.
If I were to start spoiling something. Right.
I suppose I either turn the volume down and said I'm turning the volume down until you stop talking about it, or I think we did like a spoiler cast on the veteran gamers for Mass Effect 2. So I think Duke and Stu got all their spoiler shit out of the way on there. But I don't think we did anything like that on the Overseas Connection. I think I just probably turned the volume down or something and waited.
And I think we're also pretty good about trying to avoid being too spoilerish when we talk about games. We tend to talk
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for Primrose pretty damn good.
there's that.
I don't care.
I think
it happens occasionally, but on a whole, we're pretty good about it. Come on,
I think
I've noticed, Greg, that you love that phrase "on a whole." I was listening to the Gamesman episode 69, and he said that at least 7 times.
And now I can't say it ever again.
Outstanding. I
hate you both.
I was listening to a podcast, right, which will remain nameless. All right. And they spoil things quite a lot, and it's kind of like a joke, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna make up a spoiler now, right? But you know, like in GTA 4, Nico turns into a girl halfway through, and they'll just say it for the sake of saying it, for the sake of like, haha, you know, I've spoiled the game for everybody else who hasn't got there, and his attitude is like, you know, fuck 'em. You know, if they haven't played, fuck them. And that kind of rubbed me up the wrong way a little bit. Right? So I really think that like spoilers should be saved either for the end of the show or a completely separate podcast where you just talk about that game. Because those are the safest ways you can do a spoiler. I think I'm tired of, spoiler alert, next 2 minutes, who's Mass Effect forever. I just think it should be saved for the end. Every time we have a spoiler for something, we just go, save it to the end of the show, make a note of it, and then when the podcast is finished, we'll just talk about it then. That's what I think.
Now we can't talk about anything.
Well, what if it's like a year old?
I think the year is the cutoff point, isn't it?
Is it a year or is it like 6 months? Really?
That's how long I took to play.
Well, yeah, I know that's how long you took to play it. But I mean,
well, the thing is, like, you know, people don't play the games as soon as they come out or other games go in the way. I mean, look how many games you've missed, Greg, in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chris, look how many games that you haven't played that have come out in the last 6 months.
You're right. You're right. I skipped the second half of the Gamesman because they were about to spoil Bastion. I haven't played it yet.
And you don't want them to spoil it for you because you want whatever to happen to unique to you. So I think a year is fair. And even then, you should warn people. These are the spoiler etiquettes of podcasts that should be introduced across all podcasts.
Don't hold us to this completely, audience, because at some point I'm sure we will slip up on this, probably next episode.
The rules as laid down by the first convening of the Brethren Court.
Nice.
Also, Marcus Fenix and Dom are gay at the end of Gears of War 3. That is true. Anyway,
let's move on. Yeah.
Chris.
Matthew.
Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, it's me?
It's you.
It's me. It's me. So, of course, I've been playing Forza 4 and Battlefield 3 because I play those every week. They're still good fun.
They are good fun.
Some of my friends who are late adopters of Forza 4 have started playing online from time to time, and so I've been jumping in with them. Good times. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary went through another. Me and Shinyverse and I have been working on going through that on Legendary co-op because thankfully there's no achievement in that one for doing it solo. So that's good fun. What has dominated my life for the past 7 days?
Dominated your life?
I have skipped work to play this game.
Skipped work?
Well, I wouldn't say skipped work. I would say left work a little earlier than usual.
So you have risked the nation of America to play this game.
It's treason.
Jesus.
It's craziness. This
better be
the
second coming.
Perhaps you should edit this part out. I have spent a large portion of my free time playing the Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. which I'm really, really, really enjoying.
I will jump in, Chris, and say I also have been spending much of my time playing that very same game.
Yes. So I've been looking for a long time for a good action RPG, and I believe I finally found it. This game is what I thought I was getting when I picked up Sacred 2. And I did like Sacred 2, don't get me wrong. I did like Sacred 2, but this is more of what I thought I would be getting with the combos and dodging and sort of action-based combat rather than just dice rolls and stats. Although the stats and the dice rolls do play into it. You know, it's got hundreds of side quests, and you got the crafting bit and the finding of the things finding reagents for potions and finding components for armor and finding shards to make your crystals.
Right.
I haven't really done anything with the main story yet because I've just been working on the side quests. So, you know, it's got a lot of your standard RPG fare. They don't call it this, but there's the Mages Guild, the Fighters Guild, and the Thieves Guild. Although they're called something else, but it's the same thing.
Well, yeah, Chris, let me stop you real fast. So I think an obvious comparison should be kind of talked about, and maybe some of the differences be pointed out up front, and that is Skyrim. You know, these games in some ways feel very much alike to me, but very different in so many other ways.
Yeah, I haven't played Skyrim yet, but I'm imagining it's not all that different from Oblivion.
Well, they're both huge worlds,
right.
And there are hundreds of quests. I mean, both games just have a tenfold magnitude of quests. I mean, it's going to take easily 200 hours for either game, I think, if you wanted to be a completionist. I think where Skyrim and this game differ, Skyrim, of course, they just give you this huge landmass that you can roam literally all over. There really is no place you can't get to in Skyrim if you really try. Whereas in Kingdoms of Amalur, it is open, but it's kind of open in a fable-like way.
Well, it's more like Sacred, in that you have a huge open map, but it's very segmented terrain. There are mountain passes that you can't get over. So to get from one region to the next, you have to go through very defined corridors. Right. And if you go too fast, you will quickly find yourself in an area where the enemies are too much for you to handle yet.
Yes.
Which I did early on chasing an achievement, which I thankfully got after some hours of trying.
Nicely done. They both have the conversation tree where you start talking to people and different choices will affect different things. And like you already pointed out, they have the guilds, the guild quests. I think, you know, I mean, they really do offer up a lot of the same things. You can have a dog.
I wish I could have a dog to find things for me.
No, they should make an RPG where you have a dog, Greg. That's an idea.
Brilliant. Oh, we should.
If you had a dog that could sniff out hidden things for you, that would be amazing.
Yeah. It would be crazy. So good. But, you know, you can make potions. You can craft armor. And they both handle it in similar ways, but they are different enough that you're not going to feel like you're doing the same thing, you know, as you did in the previous game. I think probably the other biggest area really falls into the combat and the aesthetics of the games, because that's, I think, where they really kind of have a very different feel. Skyrim goes for kind of a much more realistic look. You know, everything has, you know, kind of a realistic look and feel, so to speak.
With the exception of the people with tiger heads and lizard heads. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's that.
Yeah. But if they existed, Chris, they would probably look like that.
But
someone with a tiger's head and a human's body did exist, they probably would wear the same clothes as regular people and just have tiger's heads. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Chris. But what I'm talking about is like the character, you know, the characters themselves.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with that. The, you know, Kingdoms of Amalur is much more of an artistic world. I think much brighter, more vibrant color palette. And you know, Oblivion is much more realistic. Still a lot of bright colors, just more what you would expect to see in an open grassy field. There's no 6 foot tall roses.
Now, I will say, I find Kingdoms of Amalur much more vibrant. Skyrim certainly has vibrant colors to it, but on a whole, that game comes across very dark. Damn it, I said it.
We need a bell.
I know, we need a bell. But the other aspect...
I don't get what happened.
I said on a whole, again, right there. That's twice now.
Got it. With you.
It's actually.
It is getting rather comical at this point.
On the whole, Preparation H feels good.
Shut it. No. Combat, though. That is where these teams take a huge divergence. And I love Kingdom of Amalur's combat. It is fast. It's combo-driven. It just feels really good.
That's the thing that's drawing me in this game. I mean, obviously, I don't like Hawks and Elves and Wizards and shit because it's stupid, right? But, like, I've heard that the big thing about RPGs is usually they don't have great combat. Even Skyrim, which is, Jesus 2, The Revenge of Jesus, and it still doesn't have an exciting combat system, whereas, I've heard that Amalur is just great. It's an RPG with great combat that can compete with the logs of a decent hack and slash game.
Can't argue with that.
No, it is. It's a very fluid, fast-paced kind of combat system. I like that you can change very quickly what kind of character you're building. You can for the price of some gold, you can start all over and with all your points and reassign them wherever you want. So you can test out the different things. So that's good. It does have some spikes in difficulty that can lead to some frustration.
Now that's funny because I was finding on normal this game was incredibly easy.
Oh, I just said that you suck.
Yeah, well, that could be.
So I started playing on normal, and I also found it to be very easy. I played it for maybe 2 hours on normal, and then I was like, there's an achievement for finishing on hard. Normal is really easy, so let me start over on hard and play from there. And for the most part, even the hard difficulty isn't all that hard until you get to some of these sort of bosses. So I don't know how far you've gotten in any of the guild quests.
I just faced one of my first bosses, and when I switched it to hard... That boss fight was incredibly difficult.
Yeah. So I was doing the first quest of the Warriors Guild. And you go through this cave and you fight sort of the normal enemies you've been fighting the whole time. And all of a sudden you get to the end and there's this huge monster. And the huge monster hit me once and I was dead. I was like, oh, all right.
This ain't no Dark Souls.
Yeah, I had a similar experience in the Traveler's Quest. And I do like that they have these kind of boss battles. They come across that way, like a standard game would have, as opposed to where Skyrim, it feels like you don't necessarily come across boss battles all the time. I mean, I guess you do, but they just feel a little more natural to the land, whereas this feels like you're getting that level of a boss battle. You get locked in the room and you have to fight your way out. But I had a similar situation where I came across this boss character and I thought, oh, I can just, do my standard thing and two hits. And I suddenly noticed my health was pretty much non-existent. And, I thought I would be able to get to the health potion in time. And as I go into the D-pad, died.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
But it was satisfying to me. I liked the fact that it gave me the challenge, whereas up until that point, I had just been pretty much breezing through enemies. So I would recommend anybody kick it up to hard, and unless you really find it to be too challenging, keep it at hard, because I think the game will reward you much more. That's my own two cents, at least.
I'm sorry, you would recommend what?
That you kick it up to hard right away.
Play the game on hard.
And if you find that too difficult, then maybe adjust it back down to normal. But at least for the get-go, go to hard.
Well, and the nice thing is I came across that one boss that was just, I tried five or six times with a couple of different tactics and I just couldn't beat him. So I left. You weren't actually locked in the room. I just luckily I had a game save right before I got to him. So I just turned around and left that area, leveled up a bit, got some better equipment, went back, and it was still a challenge to beat him, but it was at least reasonable. So that was nice that was an option.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't really say enough good about this game. It's a lot of fun.
The only thing I was going to say, one thing I have heard from a few different podcasts, and it is the completionists out there, which is definitely you, Mr. Matthew, that you are going to – yeah, you are going to kind of, in a sense, out-level yourself to the world once you get into the latter parts of the game, because of all the side quests, there are so many that you kind of level up a little faster than the game should probably allow you to.
You know, I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the knock on the game, that it does get a little repetitive, a little bit too, you know, you're too powerful, and by the end, you're doing so much damage and healing yourself so fast that it doesn't matter what you face.
Yeah, but I
agree with, you know, again, I just listened to the Gamesman today from the one that you were on. I'm with Steve on this one. I like to be the guy that spends time in each area and completes every quest so that by the time I get to the next area, I'm already more powerful than the enemies in that area.
Got him.
You know, I just, that's if that is part of the game mechanic, I'm gonna take advantage of it.
No. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's just from an enjoyment standpoint, I think that is a potential pitfall.
I guess so, but you know, we were talking about, you know, why did we used to play the old JRPGs and we played to get to the next cutscene. For me, with a game like this, I keep playing to unlock that next really powerful attack or that next really awesome item. It was kind of the same reason I kept playing Borderlands, was just to see what the awesome guns were that I was going to find. So to me, leveling up and becoming uber powerful is the game.
Awesome guns for the win. I like it.
Awesome guns for the win.
Okay, anything else you wanted to add in on Amalur, or do you want to
The pre-order items, they were very helpful to start, and as Mike so eloquently put it, quickly became obsolete. It was definitely helpful to start the game with a complete set of armor so that you got the bonus for having all five pieces of a set on. But they quickly became the weapons not powerful enough and the armor not protecting enough. But that's okay, because you can do crafting right away to make some things that are much, much better.
Very true.
I would like it if when you were crafting you could customize the color and appearance of the armor. It's a quirk of my personality, but I like for things to be aesthetically pleasing. So when I'm wearing mismatched pieces of armor, it drives me crazy.
Well, then thank God there's another RPG on the way that's going to let you do that very thing.
Wow, you're the master.
You like that?
And I just ruined it.
Yeah, it's okay. We can slide right into it if you want.
Yeah, I'm done with that other thing.
All right, well, let's talk about the next thing that you were playing.
Yeah, the next thing. Now, this I did risk the security of the nation for. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning to download the Mass Effect 3 demo and played it before I went to work, because I knew I wouldn't have time to play it after I got done with work before we recorded the show.
As did I. I woke up around 5, yeah, about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, but you know what you didn't do?
Play with you.
You didn't join into the co-op demo, Greg.
No, I did not. There were reasons for that, though.
It's terrible.
Yes. Being that,
that houses have walls.
Well, yeah, your walls might be thicker than my walls, apparently, because my son's room sits just on the other side of where the TV is. So in the morning, if I jump out and try and get in any gaming, I'm doing it, you know, with the headset on, volume completely down, and speaking like a mouse to try and avoid waking up my son. Because the moment he wakes up, you know, any kind of gaming is not going to happen.
Fair enough. Yeah, I certainly don't have a lot of gaming once my once my son is awake, unless my wife's around to look after him for me.
Yeah. We also affectionately refer to them as the little monster.
Yes.
Yes.
The little monster.
So, Mass Effect 3, you played the co-op. Did you play the single player as well?
I did. So I had a run at the co-op with Cybernaut. We played through a couple of the missions. Well, I shouldn't say played through. We attempted a couple of the missions.
Okay.
And then I played through the single player demo. Do you want to talk about the co-op first, or did you not play that?
I dabbled in the co-op, and it was really just pretty much on my own, because when I jumped on at lunchtime looking for people, nobody was on playing the demo. So I just said, all right, I'll just start up a game and see what it's like.
What'd you think?
I think it's a good addition. It doesn't seem like it's anything groundbreaking. It certainly is Horde mode with some variations to it.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like they add in some kind of like, I don't know
objectives.
Objectives. Thank you. And so you have to go and like complete 4 objectives in under 5 minutes to get to the next wave. There's also just surviving wave after wave of enemies.
So I must be horrible because I couldn't get through the first wave by myself. I don't know if I was just using the wrong tactics or what, but I tried to play it by myself and I couldn't even get through the first wave.
No, it was tough. It was tough.
So I was really kind of disappointed in it at first because I thought this is just a crappy Horde mode. Then when Cybernaut joined me, we were able to get through a few waves and get to those objective missions.
Right.
Okay, fine. It still is a bit of a – I think it's an okay add-on, but it's a bit of a disappointment in that I was really hoping it would be more like Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2, where you jump in and you have a mission to go do. You
right,
know, you're
right.
Going from point A to point B and doing these tasks along the way kind of a thing, not stand here, shoot all these dudes, and then stand next to this thing and shoot all these dudes. I mean, I guess at the end, it's always about standing here and shooting these dudes. It's just the way you present it. I don't know. I think it's fine. I just thought it could be so much better.
Yeah, I guess I'm in line with you on this. I mean, it was good, wasn't great. I want to see more of it. I want to experience some of the parts that were locked up and you know you couldn't access.
Yeah,
there's some customization stuff going on there that we still don't have the ability to really tinker with. So I don't know how deep it's going to get.
It seemed to me as though the customization was just the customization options you had for each character class were just the same exact options you had for each squad mate in the single player campaign, which is fine. You know, that's deep enough. I wasn't all that, you know, I wasn't disappointed with that as much as I was. It would have been, you know, they wanted to integrate the co-op with the single player and make it sort of so one supported the other, or at least so that the co-op supported the single player. So it would have been so much better if it would have been something like, all right, you four get together and go raid. What was the mercenaries hangout in Mass Effect 2? Help me out.
I don't recall.
Chenny, you played it like yesterday, remember?
I can't remember, man.
You know what I'm talking about. The thing that's in the meteorite.
Right.
Where the club is and all that.
Yeah.
You know, go do a raid on that, and if you do that, then that releases this fleet to go help out with something or whatever. You know, just make it more of an objective-based thing, I guess.
Okay. It's hard, again, without having – you know, everything kind of unlocked and being able to, you know, really get in and see it, to know just how much it is or isn't integrated in with the single player. I got the feeling from the map, there's like this huge circular map that's kind of like the universe, and it looks like there's sectors you're going to go in.
Galaxy.
Yeah, well, you're going to go into those sectors, I'm guessing, and as you're completing the co-op stuff in those sectors, it's going to either reinforce that area or...
Yeah, it enhances your readiness, is what they're calling it. It enhances your galactic readiness for the attack or something. That's all well and good. I guess I'm more disappointed with the structure of the actual missions themselves.
Yeah, they felt pretty simplistic so far. Hopefully they'll be deeper. Maybe there's going to be additional objectives as you're playing through that you'll feel like you're going further into a map as opposed to just hanging around this one area. I don't know. It was a snippet, and, you know, again, it's – you got to figure it's at least three-month-old code. So there were some graphical hiccups here and there. There were some little things that, you know, didn't quite feel great. But on a whole – and there's that word again. I know. It did exactly what I thought it was going to do, which is play pretty smoothly, enhance the single player enough or have me, you know, feel like it was going to do enough for the single player.
Possibly.
All right. Well, let's take a little hesitation in the podcast, if you will, because we're going to bring in Mr. Richard Primrose right now, and we can continue on the Mass Effect 3 conversation in just a second. All right. So, Mr. Primrose, now with us, Rich. Thanks for joining the podcast.
I got here eventually.
Well, you know,
there's some big war going off in Los Angeles, and. I couldn't get here on time for some reason.
Rich, we outed you already. Sorry, dude. We gave the real reason.
Watching
the movie with the moms.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He's watching Battle Los Angeles. You didn't get that?
No, I did not get that. Now I'm picking up on that. Might as well just say on the whole for now. Why not? What the hell?
Why don't we? Yeah, never mind.
All right, let's move on. Let's finish up our conversation. Chris, Mass Effect 3, single player. Let's talk about that portion of the demo.
Well, I thought the single player seemed very much like Mass Effect 2. I didn't really see a big difference. Same kind of the controls were very similar. The powers were all the same. There were a few new powers added in there, maybe not. You know, the enemies were all kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a bad thing. I liked Mass Effect 2, and I thought the combat in it was very smooth and intuitive. So that's not a bad thing.
Did you get any sort of choice to these new modes that they're talking about? Or is it just straight into a bit of a battle-type thing and then that's the end of the demo?
So it gives you the choice right when you start the demo of either action mode, RPG mode, or story mode or something, right?
Right.
As best I can tell, in action mode, you just do all the fighting, and any conversations that would normally happen take place as a cutscene instead of you choosing dialogue options. You know, RPG mode is just like Mass Effect 2. And then I guess story mode is the combat is scaled back and you just do the conversations, which I don't know why you would do that.
Well, the combat is scaled back and easier from what I understand. So it's not going to be a big part of the game. The story is going to be front and center more than anything. I did try the action mode and it is exactly as you're saying. You don't have any dialogue trees at all. The story mode plays out just like big cutscenes, and you dive right into action right at the same times you dove into the action with the RPG mode. You really just miss out on the action sequences. The only thing I didn't see or didn't play long enough to see was how it handled the upgrade system. And so the demo itself gives you two snippets from the game, Rich and Mike. You play, you know, the first part, which kind of sets the groundwork, if you will, for how the previous game is going to maybe affect this game because it has some of those choices in there. And then the second half of the demo fast forwards you to later on in the game, and it kind of levels you up, and you have to make decisions on where you want to level up yourself. And I didn't get to that point in the action demo to see if it actually lets you make choices for your character or your other characters in your group, or if it just auto-updates everybody. So that would be an interesting thing to see.
I called action mode Call of Duty mode.
Yeah.
On the show last night.
That's not terribly far off, just a better story.
I called story mode noob mode. So.
All right. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't want to think about. If you want to listen to more hilarious antics, go to theveterangamers.co.uk.
Mike, we love your hilarious antics.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, Chris, I agree with you. As a veteran Mass Effect player, I didn't feel this huge leap from Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3. Yeah, it definitely feels like Mass Effect. I wonder how many... You know, Mass Effect 2 players are going to be a little bit disappointed that there wasn't this gigantic leap. I imagine it's probably the same feeling a lot of people had when they made the Uncharted 2 to Uncharted 3 jump. Uncharted 2 was such a great game that the leap from Uncharted 2 to Uncharted 3 didn't feel huge. And I kind of got the same feeling with this.
I think there's... So there's a bit of disappointment in that maybe they didn't advance it very much, and maybe they did, and they just couldn't showcase it in the demo very well.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a bit of relief in that it does feel very much like Mass Effect 2, and so they didn't continue the trend towards making it a shooter rather than a role-playing game. They sort of stayed where they were.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think most people are going to get appeased by the fact that it will be the same, and you never get anything off a demo that much when it's an in-depth RPG, because you grow to love it, don't you? It's like Skyrim. Here's me saying that. Bloody hell, RPGs for the win.
Craziness. Nice. So let's talk real fast about the 800-pound gorilla that we have avoided talking about so far, which is the Kinect integration.
Oh, God.
I didn't even try it. I was pleasantly surprised to see that I didn't even have to worry about it. I kept seeing the microphone pop up in the top left corner, perhaps indicating to me that I could say something.
Right.
But I didn't bother.
You'd be damned if you was going to.
Well, I just... to me, the way the system is set up to begin with is fine. I don't mind using the shoulder buttons to pause the action, bring up the radio menu, issue a couple of orders, let those orders play out. You know, that makes it an RPG for me. So sure, I guess just being able to say, you know, Liara, do this, Garrus, do that, certainly would make it more fluid. I didn't try it.
Right.
I certainly wasn't going to go up to the door and say open door, because saying open door is harder than pressing the A button.
Right.
I'm keen to try it, but I've got reservations because I'll be playing this game at like 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, and there'll be people banging on walls and ceilings and stuff saying, shut up.
So, Rich, let me help you out with that, because here was the interesting thing. So this morning – when I fired up Mass Effect 3, Mr. Matthew immediately was like, you know, hey, jump on in. And I, you know, declined, telling him, you know, hey, it's early in the morning. I'm not going to start chatting with anybody because I want to be quiet. So I was playing with my Turtle Beach headsets on and, you know, had the TV totally turned down. So the room was quiet itself, but of course I'm playing it with the sound and all going. And as I'm playing, I started getting a little curious. How good was the Kinect, you know, microphone array, could it pick up my voice if I was speaking softly? And I was able to talk and probably would be, you know, probably about this tone, which I'm not being really loud with. It may be coming across loud, I guess, on the podcast, but I'm very much in a quieter conversation mode, and it picked up everything. And this is sitting probably about 8 to 10 feet away from my TV on a couch. And it picked up everything fine. I was able to issue out voice commands to the squad mates to do things. I didn't feel the need, as Chris was indicating, to use voice command for everything. I certainly didn't. You know, I still used A to open the doors. But I did find myself using squad commands in combat, as I learned, because that was the other funny thing. I kind of had forgotten what all the different special powers were called. So I had to, you know, go into the pause menus and find out what they were. But then I started using them, and as I had, you know, indicated up in the forums, and Chris kind of made mention of it, it definitely made the combat feel fluid. You go into cover, you're surveying the situation, and you start issuing orders. You know, Garrus, proximity mine, and wherever you're pointing, he's throwing a proximity mine there, and then you're saying, Liara, you know, warp. And then you move out of cover, you start shooting at the person that just got warped, the proximity mine goes off. It all just had this a much more dynamic feel than it had with pausing it and giving the orders. It's not to say that pausing it was broken at all, because again, as Chris indicated, what was really nice is all the functionality from the previous Mass Effect games, especially Mass Effect 2, and how they implemented the commands and that all still works the same way. It hasn't been affected by Kinect. Anybody that was worried about it, you can rest assured you can play Mass Effect 3 just like you played Mass Effect 2. But if you want, you have that option now.
So could we equate this to being much like Forza 4, where people were saying, you know, Forza 3 was an absolutely brilliant game, mm-hmm. and they just did a great job of giving you a bigger overall package? And it sounds like, I mean, not played it, not played Forza, but it sounds like they're doing exactly the same with this, just giving you a bigger, better overall package.
Yeah, I think maybe so. And if, you know, the one advantage that this has over a Forza 4 to Forza 3 transition is they are finishing the narrative here, whereas Forza 3 and 4, there's not narrative.
Any narrative.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there is that. Yeah, I'd say that's fairly accurate. Looks like they added some new weapons. I don't know if you noticed or not, Greg, but the default assault rifle you got for the second mission was a single-shot assault rifle.
Yes.
Which was a little different than what you're used to. You're used to the assault rifles being full auto, so that took a second to get used to.
Yeah, in fact, it was
good.
I ended up switching out to the machine gun, the submachine gun.
I did that when I ran out of bullets.
I also noticed that it looks like the weapons are all going to have customizations to them in terms of potentially scopes, extended mags.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad they added that. That was one of the things I thought was missing from... So one of the things they took out of Mass Effect 1 that it looks like they've brought back in a new form was the weapon customization. You know, in Mass Effect 1, you could give the weapon a special ammo type and two accessories.
Yep.
It's good.
I do have a big question mark, though, in terms of inventory management. I did not see anywhere in the single-player demo, and this gave great cause of concern to Mr. Conger when we were talking earlier, about being able to pause and go in and manage inventory. And I don't know that is there.
I think that's all going to be done. My guess is that's all going to be done on the ship, pre and post mission. So if you remember right, in Mass Effect 2, whenever you left the Normandy, you would select your squad and select their weapons, and then you were off, and that was what you had until you got back.
True.
I think it will probably be the same in this one.
Okay. Well, I will say the story, at least the snippets that we saw in the demo, feels as epic as any of the previous Mass Effect games. I think this is going to be a very, very fun game.
Well, they certainly
grabbed you. Don't fool yourself. It's not the last one.
Yeah, there'll be more, I'm sure. I mean, they certainly did a good job of kind of grabbing you with the opening, though, with the sort of the scale of it. I still sometimes feel a bit nostalgic for Mass Effect 1 because the main menu on Mass Effect 1, and this is kind of silly, but when you first loaded it in, It had kind of that really haunting electronic music soundtrack going on with the kind of bass thing behind it. And it was just kind of built up this anticipation. And the menu, ever since EA took over, just really looks kind of chintzy to me. and I realize that's a minor point because the menu is just what you look at when you first start the game. But when Mass Effect 1, it was that opening menu just kind of grabbed you. It was like the scene from Star Wars Episode 4 where we look at a planet and then zoom out to a Star Destroyer battle, right? It's kind of the same thing. But yeah, yeah. I think the story is going to be very interesting. And it's nice to see all the old squad members back from Mass Effect 1.
I'm actually really curious how they're going to handle that for me. Because in my ending of Mass Effect 2, Tali bit the dust.
Well, you won't have that one.
Right. I'm just curious. Do they just replace her with a generic, you know, Tali, or do I get do I just not have her?
There'll probably be another character with similar abilities.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Tali's in my game because me and her got jiggy.
All right. Are we good on the Mass Effect 3 talk for now?
Mm.
Okay, let's...
I just got to add one thing.
Okay.
Williams is still hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Darkness 2. Got it on Gamefly. Mike, I think you will enjoy it.
Good.
I'm not sure how much I will enjoy it.
It's got guns in it.
It's got guns in it.
Yeah. I look games with guns in it, Greg.
It's got guns. It's got gore.
Shoot people with guns. Yeah. I like that. It's all good. Tick all that off.
They go in a little bit.
Gory.
They have this. Well, no, they have this skill tree system, which just doesn't
really.
Yeah. It's pretty big and
big. Oh, no.
Yeah, as in deep and. I don't know that they needed to have it in this game.
Maybe a tiny one for like, oh, now you got this ability and you can rip out their hearts.
Well, I mean, they've got things in there like extra ammo for your pistol, extra ammo for your shotgun. And
boring.
Yeah, I'm like, I've got these two tentacles. Why do I need, you know, why do I even need the guns? So.
Oh, this is weird.
It makes me feel like the game might just have some padding in there to make it longer so you can access these different skill trees.
If we need that in Darkness.
I don't think we do.
No. The whole point is just to kind of like use the guns, yeah, but you got these tactical things!
what I did play of it, graphically, it looks good. I like the kind of cel-shaded look and feel of the game.
Right.
It plays really smooth. Yeah. Shooting all feels good.
Yeah.
People get their heads ripped off nicely.
That's always nice. Yeah. That's always nice.
Yeah, but the listeners want to know, how often have you been lobbing your tentacles out?
Right. I've been lobbing my tentacles out often.
Good.
Often. And there is something very satisfying about grabbing a pole with a tentacle and impaling somebody to a wall with said pole. It is rather nice.
Okay.
Is that much like the Dead Space 2 mechanic, where you could like pick up poles and stuff with your telekinesis and throw it? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, very much so. And the tentacle system seems to work really well with this. It's all controlled with the two right bumpers. So your left and right trigger are your gun triggers. And your right bumper and your left bumper are controls for the tentacles. And when you hold down the right bumper, flicking the thumbstick will make that lash out. Holding down the left bumper, flicking the right thumbstick will make the left tentacle lash out. Left tentacle is pretty much for grabbing people. And the right tentacle seems to be kind of your whip and assault, if you will.
I see.
General vibe I've been getting from Twitland is that the story's quite surprised everybody. There's some good twists and stuff in it. So that's getting me more interested in it.
Yeah, I haven't. I can't say I've gotten to any twists so far in it. I've only played a very short, probably maybe 20, 30 minutes of the game. So I didn't really get terribly far into the story. Enough to upgrade myself a couple times, and so far it's a mob game. You know, it's mafia, but with your character, the Darkness. You know,
well, that's me and my cuppa.
Yeah,
and that's I think what they're shooting for. They said, let's make a game that's going to make Mike happy.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Hey, I know we already finished talking about Mass Effect 3, but I just reminded myself of something.
Ugh.
Headshots. I blew a guy's headshot, or his head, right off in Mass Effect 3. It caught me by complete surprise. Huh. I mean, blood splurting, everything. I was really thrown back by that.
The whole shebang, hey?
Yeah, the whole shebang. Anyway. All right, that's it for me. I mean, unless you guys want to talk more about The Darkness 2, but I mean, it was fairly limited playthrough. It looks good. Feels pretty good. I mean, Mike, I think it'll be a game you'll enjoy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can tell by your voice. I'm not really doing a good job of selling it either. I freely admit that.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Kingdoms of Amalur really took over for my week, so.
I'm tempted to give that a try. I am tempted. I'll admit it.
I think you would enjoy it. All right, so, Rich, why don't we talk about what you've been playing?
Not too much, really. Comfortably bouncing along on Bastion. Loving that. That's my daytime, safe for the kids to watch, romp in Fantasyland. I'm really enjoying that. It's good. Story's opening out nicely, and I think I will be carrying on with that. Although I think the one big blockage that's going to come with that is Alan Wake's due into it. So that's going to be another arcade buy.
But, just around the corner.
But it's not for the kids. So this is my daytime one. And, quite enjoying that. I also picked up... I heard the Giant Bomb fellas talking about Ghost Trick.
Okay.
And then just yesterday I heard Stuart talking about Ghost Trick as well. Anyway, I picked that up at the weekend. And... just going off the back of all of the hype on it. Now, all I'll say is, if you like Japanesey lemon squeezy type games, then you'll jump straight into this one, and it's fine. It's got a bit of a film noir in a Japanese style-y to it. It's got some very neat mechanics. Although I would say, for the fact, and Stu was right, you do get 2 hours worth of play on the demo, but I think the overkill, the showing you what to do, and it's got speech bubbles in it, so there's a lot of stop-starting, and I found that very irritating.
But, speech bubbles.
Yeah, speech bubbles. So once I got into playing the actual game, which basically revolves around a guy that's died. So he's dead, and you can manipulate your soul to animate inanimate objects. So, it opens up a limited amount of flexibility in what you can do. I think they could have took that a bit further. And what I played of it was okay, but I started to get put off by when they started introducing the characters and stuff. The main...
Pretty early on, then.
Yeah, pretty early on.
And they started to introduce the characters.
Yeah, the characters.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, there was a female, which was all well and good, but had the anime type look to her and all of that lot. But then when you first saw the first main bad guy in it, he just put me in mind of the blue bad guy out of Sonic, you know, the professor dude.
Right, right.
And then it just lost all seriousness then. It started off looking very moody and cool, but then it just lost all validity and stuff and what it was trying to do. So,
what I was going to say is probably, Rich, at that point you were happy you only paid a couple bucks for it.
I didn't pay anything for it. It's free.
Even better.
Yeah, it's free. It's free. Fair enough. And it's probably been my first duff call on the old iPad, so. Just put that one out there. Give it a go if you like Japanesey type things, but and I do like some Japanesey things, but not this one. And then the other thing really is just Skyrim. I think I've made a bit of a schoolboy error. So they put the patch in.
Right.
I had my story that was not going anywhere because it was stuck because of this glitch thing to do with the Stormcloak missions and stuff. Okay. So having taken the patch, My Orc. Have I told you the name of My Orc, actually? His name's Skullwreck, right? Skullwreck's an orc. He's got a bit of an identity crisis because he's taken up the cause of the Nords. And, he's doing the Stormcloak stuff. And, anyway, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I've been getting all of the main quests up to a head so that I could go and pick and choose what I wanted to do. Well, I've led myself straight into the main quest, unwittingly, because I'm not an RPG buff. So I've been leading myself down the main storyline, and I've taken myself to a point in the game where I can't get out into Skyrim and fast travel to get out of somewhere. So I'm stuck.
So you pretty much have to play out the current, whatever storyline
is. Yeah, and it's in a very key point of the story, and I don't think I'm high enough level. So
roll the dice.
I'm a bit bummed, but I am getting some nice XP and leveling up by just doing minor things, but I don't know how far exactly I'm going to go to. Incidentally, taking up the Stormcloak mantle, I don't know if I told you, I never had a house. I never bought a house. What I used to do is I used to just go to, this is me being a noob again, is it River Run or Riverwood?
Right, River Run.
Yeah. I used to go there because there's a blacksmith's house, an alfresco blacksmith's. So I used to go down there and dump all of my stuff, and there was a pub just up the road. So I got to the pub.
Wait, yeah. Is it River Run or White Run?
No, not that it matters. It's River Run. It's River Run, definitely.
Okay. Is it?
So I went to the pub up the road as well, and there's a secret door in the back of the pub which takes you down into a basement, and I used to dump all my herbs and spices and stuff in there so I don't have to carry them around. And anyway, once I joined up with the Stormcloaks, turns out this village must be affiliated to the Imperial dudes because it's got White Run guards there and stuff. So anyway, I comes back there, and because I was affiliated to the Stormcloaks, basically people started attacking me. Now, I survived, but I ended up having to murder women and blacksmiths and
all. So now you're hated.
Yeah, well, I took the landlord of the pub down into the basement, and I murdered him. So he's now lying bleeding on the floor with all my herbs and spices. So I went back up, and I picked the key up, so I think I now own the pub. Is that correct? Which is all well and good. So hopefully, if I affiliate myself with the Imperials later on, then I'll be doing good. But I managed to get myself a bounty of about 13,000. And then
that's good.
Carried on with the main quest, yeah.
My character would like you.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, all going well in Skyrim as well. So
excellent.
That's my gaming week.
Okay. Well, I guess now we can talk about some new releases. All right, so new releases this week on the Wii. That was pretty pathetic. But on the Wii, there's actually a game. Stop the presses. There is a game that's coming out on the Wii. Rhythm Heaven Fever.
That's a good one, then.
Oh, clearly. And that's it. It's the only game coming out on the Wii.
Rhythm of the Dead.
Oh, I forgot a game I played. You're just looking at 3DS, aren't you?
And then we can move on.
Yeah.
We're going to go talk about the old PS Triple now. Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend. Yeah, that's out on the retail shelves. Grand Slam Tennis 2. Twisted Metal makes its debut on the PS3 this week. And UFC Undisputed 3 comes out this week as well. PSN games, you've got Grand Theft Auto 4 and House of the Dead 3 with PS Move compatibility out in the old PSN. And some demos. Binary Domain, which I'm kind of a little interested about. It's kind of also got some squad tactic voice command stuff going on from Sega. And Mass Effect 3 come out to the PS Triple this week. And DLC packs for Saints Row the Third, Fun Time Pack, and Money Shot Pack are out there if you want to pick up some DLC for that game. PSP Vita comes out this week, or the PS Vita, I guess, is really what it is.
That's a nice long release.
Yeah.
List, isn't it, for a new console?
It's quite a few games coming out for it. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll just do some of the highlights. So, for the Brits, FIFA 2011 and EA Sports FIFA Soccer, probably some highlights there. Hot Shots Golf, World Invitational is always a fun one. Luminous, Electronic Symphony, and Mod Nation Racer, Road Trip. A lot of people like that. Rayman Origins, game that got a lot of hype on the consoles. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And Uncharted Golden Abyss kind of round out the top games. And I guess Wipeout 2048 also getting some good hype around it. Apparently it's a good Wipeout game. So those are going to be available for the launch lineup. And moving over to the Xbox 360 this week, Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend, Grand Slam Tennis 2, and UFC Undisputed 3. Four seconds! Hey, Xbox Live Arcade this week, Warp, which we'll be talking about again shortly. And on the demos front, Binary Domain comes out tomorrow, Wednesday, or today, depending on when you're listening to this. And Mass Effect 3 already came out, so definitely check those out. And DLC week this week, Missplosion Man, Shoot the Glass. Jeez, I cannot talk anymore. Saints Row the Third, Fun Time Pack, and Money Shot Pack also out this week. And if you're looking for a deal for the week, well, Batman Arkham City has all kinds of stuff going on there. The Nightwing Bundle Pack, the Robin Bundle Pack, the Bat Signal for your avatar, the Batarang, they're all half off, basically.
Apart from the Catwoman stuff, is there any like extra story missions DLC coming out for, or come out for that game?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that there was actually the Nightwing Bundle Pack and the Robin Bundle Pack didn't actually
have a story.
I think they had some challenge rooms.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, they're 360 points, so they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg, but 360 points for some skins and maybe a couple challenges, I don't know. You definitely have to weigh that. But yeah, that's it for the old new releases. All right. So contest time, guys. We had all these contests going on. Started to kind of get through the clutter of them all, but it probably should be worth noting that Denver J, again, if you have already forgotten, you get a copy of Warp, and Mr. Matthew will be coordinating with me to get you the code and or information to get your copy sometime probably in the next day or so.
We're giving away things every week on this show.
It is crazy. And to continue that trend, Mr. Matthew, let's talk 100-point code giveaways.
Let's talk 100-point code giveaways. We rolled through the iTunes review list, rolled a few dice, chucked a few chicken bones and burned some incense, and came up with a winner. And this week's winner is Lord Chancellor Parsnip. So Lord Chancellor Parsnip, I'll be sending you a private message with a 100-point Microsoft point code directly. Congratulations.
Yes, it probably should be noted also, Dr. Cromad, if you are listening, reach out to us. Contact us. We have no idea who the hell you are.
You know, we did tell him that we would read his code to him on the show this week. Maybe we should do that.
Would you like to do that? We could do that. We did say sometimes, we would do that.
Sometimes people don't listen to podcasts.
This is true. Let's give it a few weeks. By the end of the end of the week seven, if we haven't got a hold of him, we'll read it out loud.
How's
we'll
that?
Maybe you need to get that jingle that says Dr. Crow, Dr. Crow, and then he'll come and listen.
I did not know there was such a jingle.
Yeah, it's Veteran Gamers. He's a regular contributor.
Dr. Claw.
Okay.
Right. He'll get us next time, Gadget.
Moving on. Rich, you came up with this crazy idea for a competition for Valentine's Day, really.
I did. It is Valentine's Day, and we're sat here in the houses talking to each other and doing bugger all. So we thought, hey, let's do a bit of a giveaway. So, yeah, we had Dark Souls for the lovers. Just basically saying, come on.
I get it. For the lovers. It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, because, that's right.
Because you love and the thing. Right, got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, with it upon us, we wanted poems, songs, to the games of your dreams. So we wanted love poems, all about your favourite games. So, yeah, we've got some entrances, and I think Chris has got the first one, which was from Mr. Mark Wright.
Mr. Mark Wright sends us a lovely little ditty that says, "Hey guys, here's my Valentine's poem to Rich. I want to let you know, Mark, that I'm jealous because I did have your Fable 3 love child, so where's my poem? That's all I'm saying. Hey, anyway, the poem goes, starting off in the classic manner, roses are red, violets are blue, Rich's massive trake sword out of his pants he withdrew. Sadly, he misjudged the job, and now he has half a knob. Have a great show. Love to all of you. XXX. Well done, Mark. Lovely."
Oh, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Pretty good effort.
Good start of 10. And then the next one was from Mark Davis. It's Knife Party. Just a quick entry for your Dark Souls comp here. Not necessarily my favourite game, but it's one that I'm having the most fun with at the minute. Really?
Oh.
So you've got it already?
Yeah, I thought that. I was like, what is it?
What?
Interesting.
What? Okay. So, see if you can guess which game. Ah, right, I see. Okay, this is to do with his favourite game. Okay. So we've got to guess what this game is. Okay, so it goes, obscured sun through squinted eyes, a breeze gently whispers past. Nature sounds of peace and beauty, its true power for none to match. Every surface drenched red with blood, hostile, haunting, unnerving death. Irritating, sand, open wounds, running, looting, fighting for breath. Chilling shrieks and muffled snarls, adrenaline gives the final fight. Dragging feet with sprinting steps, splintered clouds fend off the bite. Relentless waves of brutal foes, white-knuckled tools poised to smash. Nature sounds of fear and terror, its true power for none to match.
Beautiful.
It's very nice.
So, you choked up there, Greg? Was he?
Yeah, he's guessing. I'm a little choked up.
Yeah, he's guessing. Everybody's guessed it. So, has anybody guessed it?
No, I did not. I did read ahead, so I now know I was nowhere close to.
I thought it started off, and it sounded like Gears to me.
I haven't guessed it already. I don't know what it is, but all I can think of is Uncharted. I don't know.
See, it says running and looting.
Now, I will say, I originally, with that first, the first area or paragraph, I was thinking Final Fantasy.
I was thinking Uncharted. Am I not right with Uncharted?
But then, no. Then the drenched red with blood really kind of threw Final Fantasy out the door. At that point, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I just read what it was.
Yes. It's
nicely
Dead Island.
Done. Yeah.
Dead Island, yes. Yeah. Good one there, Mark. Enjoyed that. Next one up came from Antonio Phillips.
That's me, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's me. I'm reading that
Chinny,
one.
Take it away.
Right. Antonio Phillips, also known as G.H. Rocker, he sent us... Was it an email? Is this an email?
This is an email.
I'll get confused because there's forums, emails, and tweets on this.
Well,
Google
originally,
Docs,
originally this started with a lengthy back and forth between him and Skull with regards to the contest.
I see, that makes sense. Yeah. Right, so, thanks to Skull for the advice. Sorry for so many tweets. So, mine's about Naruto, and quite often, during a standoff, you hear the breeze bellowing. Am I murdering this?
A little bit.
You're not into it yet.
Yeah.
Where's the poem? Where's the start of the poem? Sell mines.
A wind. Square to
oh, alright. Okay. I was confused. Alright. It's late, is what I'm saying. Okay, I'll get into it. A wind stirs the trees. A strong scent pervades the air. Naruto cuts one. Pretty shit haiku, but meh. Gave it a go. Oh, it was a haiku. Brilliant. I was expecting some long poem. I should really scroll down more. All right. oh, man. Oh, my professional podcasting career is going down the drain. Thanks, guys, he said. I haven't listened for over a month. So starting tomorrow, first period in motor vehicle. Okay. I shall begin my OC catch-up. Hopefully by the time he gets to this episode, Greg, he will still like us. He goes on to say, hopefully by the time the winner is announced, I'll be on the right week. Thanks, guys. GHRocker/Antonio Phillips.
So here's my question. Motor vehicle, is that like your version of auto shop over in the UK? Or is that driving class?
He's just got his car, hasn't he, obviously.
I would guess.
Or he's just... Learning
how to drive?
He just
turned 16 last year, didn't he? So he might be starting his driving, or he might have just passed it straight up.
First period makes you think that it's a lesson at school, because we used to call lessons periods. So I guess it would be some kind of... I never had one. Maybe he goes to a posh school, because we didn't have any. Kind of how we learnt about cars is...
Maybe he's got a chauffeur that takes him to school.
Maybe. But the way I learned about cars about my school was like I learned which one hit me. And then like that's how I'd learn different models of cars.
Well, let me help you out.
I went to a rough school is what I'm trying to say.
Obviously, if you're getting hit with cars, that's pretty rough stuff.
Well, that was just the teachers in the cars. They was nice enough to stick
around. Or maybe you didn't know which way you was going when you crossed the road.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, the teachers were kind enough to stick around after school, give us some extra, you know, learning skills. So that was nice.
Let me give Antonio some friendly advice, especially if he's learning how to drive.
Yeah.
You know, always drive on the right side of the road, Antonio.
Which is the always. Left.
No, the hey, right.
Hey, Mike, do you fancy talking about parking tickets?
No, we don't want to talk about parking tickets.
There you are.
What we do
they forgot they left it on.
We do have one more entry, and this is an audio clip. So, So this was submitted to us by none other than Mr. Bed Hairdo. We also know him as Gengu Crimes.
Rob Telford.
Yeah, and it is a tribute to his favorite game, Enslaved. So here we go.
Tommy.
Enslaved, it got good reviews, but the problem was it just didn't sell good. It's a beautiful world with animal mechs. They'd hunt you down, what you dead. But Monkey was tough, he was keeping it real. You shoved that step into the giant mech X. Trip the Monkey made a brilliant team. They sold a few puzzles, set the human race free. I'm kinda glad it didn't sell too many. They beam a prequel to the sequel just to get my money. Thank you, Ninja Theory, for giving us Enslaved. Thank you, Ninja Theory, for the Golden Gate. Thank you, Ninja Theory, for giving us Enslaved. Thank you, Ninja Theory, for the Golden Gate. Yeah, I want that Dark Soul, baby.
What's great about that track is he's not remixing the sound of a monkey there. He's actually strangling it live. That's brilliant. His dedication to that.
Now, I have to say, when I first started listening to this, because I did preview it, I had to make sure it was coming out right. I really didn't think this was a legit entry. Like, I thought he swiped this from somebody. It was just good. And then
he did an intro to the veteran gamers as well.
That was the funny thing, because shortly well, I listened to it, and then at the end, of course, he says, I really want the Dark Souls. And so I was like, oh, it's legit. Holy smokes. And then I happened to actually listen to the Veteran Gamers episode for this last week and heard the intro there, and I was like, this dude has got some skills.
Yeah. Good use of bass guitar there.
Yes. It was pretty gosh darn good. So at this point, I guess we need to make some deliberations. So let's put our collective minds together, and we're going to take a brief pause, and we'll come back with the winner.
Giggity.
Oh, scratch your chins.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Yep. All right. We are back, and let's just say we are in a deadlock.
Deadlock.
Deadlock. So we had some excellent, submissions. One of our favorites was Mr. Mark Davies, which we really liked the poem. It stumped us all. It was good. But we also really did like Mr. Gang of Crimes and his song. That was well done, well polished.
What Greg is trying to say is we had a vote, and it was two votes apiece.
Yes, two votes apiece. So we are now going to the coin toss.
Chris, talk us through the coin toss.
So, gentlemen, I have in my hand the commemorative coin that will represent the contest of the poems for the copy of Dark Souls. On one side is depicted the eagle carrying the American flag, and on the reverse side is depicted the insignia of the U.S. Army Europe Command and a map of the globe. The eagle carrying the flag will represent Mark Davies, and the U.S. Army Europe insignia and the globe will represent Gang of Crimes. I'll toss the coin in the air and allow it to land on the floor and see which side comes up.
So,
and as Chris works for the army, it's against the law for him to tell a lie.
This right. is true.
I don't
this
know if true. That's true, but it sounds true, so we'll go with that.
It's good. It is technically illegal.
Brilliant. We will commence the drum roll. It will be a short drum roll, a release, and Chris, walk us through it. Here we go.
You're going to let it drop. You're going to let it drop. It's not going to land on your hand.
Yeah. It's gonna not going to catch. All right.
Suspenseful. Here we go.
Drum roll.
Wow.
And it is the eagle. So congratulations Look. To Mr. Mark Davies, the winner of the Dark Souls is for Lovers competition.
Congratulations, Mark. Congratulations.
Sadly, Andy Gold didn't win it, but that was a good entry.
It was a really good entry.
It was an excellent entry.
We might have to figure out something for you. Maybe we can scrounge up another 100-point code or something. Not that you really want that.
It's kind of a U.S. since nobody in the U.S. decided to enter the contest.
This is true. We'll figure something out for a nice second place because that was a nice entry.
Got to be worthy of something.
Yeah, something.
Something.
Okay.
I think I've got Dragon Age 2.
I've got Dragon Age 2 on the PS3, and you've got it on the 360 there, Chris. So
yeah, sadly, you know. NTSA region.
God damn it!
All right, well, we'll be in touch with the winner, runner up, all that good stuff. In the meantime, it's time for some news.
That was
quiz.
Good, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Was good.
Exciting.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Let's
All right, news quiz time. I don't know that this can – it can't even match what just happened. But
I know.
There is news to be talked about.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Come on, Greg.
Tongue-tied.
The time is 0111 here in the UK.
Yeah. Mike, yep. First question to you.
All right.
What PS3 exclusive will be shutting down its online service this summer? A, Killzone 2,
right.
B, Resident Evil 2, or C, Metal Gear Solid 4.
God, I know.
Okay, so...
it's a PS3 question.
It's complete bollocks, all right? So Resident Evil 2 can go. Metal Gear Solid 4, there was a Metal Gear Solid Online, but it was called Metal Gear Solid Online, and you said Metal Gear Solid 4, which is the incorrect way of saying it, so I'm going to go with whatever the first one was. Killzone 2.
Should have gone with that second gut instinct. It is actually Metal Gear Solid 4. Their online mode, which is Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Online, is going to be shut down this summer. Mm-hmm. It will end on June 21st. The Metal Gear Online shop will cease to be on March 21st. And basically by April, it will be impossible to make new characters.
See, Snake's earned enough for his pension.
Snake!
He's going off to retire.
Ah, Snake.
Rich.
Good on you, Snake.
Rich, are you ready for your question, Rich?
Yeah, go on.
I'm pushing you forward. We're firing him off. Here we go.
Bang, 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 bang.
What game was pulled from the Virtual Console for Nintendo? Is it A, Snake. Super Mario, B, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, or C, Zelda Ocarina of Time?
I'm going to have to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Rich, you get a star. Yeah, it seems that apparently in each and every region that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has been pulled from the Virtual Console.
Hmm.
Konami cited an expired license, and that's the same issue that basically happened with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time reshelled. So maybe they just don't like their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay, that means, Chris, you are next.
Yeah.
Are you ready? What is the name of the first trailer in the $50 million Vita campaign? Is it The World at Your Fingertips? B, The World is Just the Start? Or C, The World is in Play? Silence is not golden here.
Yeah, the world is at your fingertips. The world is in play. The world is just the start.
Yes.
I go with the world is in play.
You would be correct, Mr. Matthew. Yes, the world is in play kicks off a $50 million Vita ad campaign.
Yeah, send me that money. Those Vitas.
All right, Mike. That means we are coming back to you. What is the rumored final name of the Kinect game Project Draco? Is it Crimson Dragon, Dragonborn, or Project Draco?
It can't be Project Draco. That's just awful. Crimson Dragon.
Mike, you would also be getting a star right about
now.
It appears the Project Draco game will be, in fact, called Crimson Dragon.
I tell you what, if it was Dragonborn, bloody Bethesda would be knocking on their door.
Hey. Good that you caught that.
Well,
the Australian Classification Board basically outed it as it has it listed up with Microsoft as a publisher. So, there you go.
Dragonborn Scrolls.
Just Dragonborn Scrolls. Brilliant. All right, Rich, are you ready?
Yeah, sorry, Greg. I must stop interrupting because I'm very rude.
It's okay. I love rudeness sometimes.
Sorry.
And this game I have specifically for you.
Okay.
Being the Lego lover that you are.
All right.
It appears we will be getting more Lego Star Wars games, Rich.
Great.
Lucasfilm has renewed the license for how many years? 5, 10, or 15?
You're going to get Lego Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D?
Yes, you are.
Licensing. I would say it's going to be 5 or 10. And knowing how much love Microsoft have given to LucasArts. This is overall license, isn't it, for everything?
This is Lucasfilm with a licensing deal with the Lego Group. Not Microsoft, the Lego Group.
Them guys sit pretty tight together, don't they? And if it is the Lego Group, then that encompasses toys and stuff as well, don't it?
Yep.
I'm going to go 10 years.
Rich, you are on fire. Lucasfilm has renewed its licensing deal for the Lego Group with 10 more years. Basically means now you're going to get 10 more years of Lego goodness.
Yay.
Love it.
Yeah.
Plus, Lego Minecraft's coming as well.
Well, that makes sense.
Lego Minecraft.
That's basically what Minecraft is.
Match made in heaven.
I love the design stage of that. It's like, right, we've got to make these Legos look like Minecraft characters. Oh, right, well, I'm going on break.
That's me done.
All right. Chris, you are the last question.
Woo-hoo.
And it is fitting that this question came to you. According to the January NPD numbers, which game came in fifth place? A, Battlefield 3.
Battlefield.
B, NBA 2K12.
NBA, motherfuckers.
Or C, Mario Kart 7.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mario Kart.
Sadly, you are wrong. Actually, it was Battlefield 3. So the list, 10 to number 1, Saints Row the 3rd, Zumba Fitness 2, Party Yourself for the Wii, Skylanders Spyro Adventure on Everything Under the Sun, 7, Mr. Mario Kart 7 himself on the 3DS, 6, Madden NFL 12, number 5, Battlefield 3, number 4, NBA 2K12, 3, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim,
never heard of it.
2, Just Dance 3, and number 1, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
America!
Get this from GameSpot?
No, I did not get this off of GameSpot. I got this off of the joystick site.
Oh, okay.
The joystick.
And followed up with some other additional.
I was looking it up here, and according to GameSpot, that was the top 10 list for January 2011.
Owned.
Which would a trick.
Interesting, interesting. That is pretty interesting if that was, in fact, 2011.
It couldn't have been. None of those games were out yet.
Exactly. Total sales, though, for the industry dropped 34% year over year, which is kind of troubling. It was interesting that 360 did maintain the top spot once again. They had 49% of the market share, selling 270,000 consoles. You'd think that would be a positive, but the reality is they were down 29%.
I know, but that you know, this is kind of the end of their cycle.
Yeah, right. Everybody's got one.
They're winning.
winning while losing. It's an interesting proposition.
They're winning, and they're now beating a console that was, you know, deemed a phenomenon, you know, which was the Wii. Not the PS3. Sorry, PS3. But, you know, look, the Wii looked like it was never gonna stop, and then it did. And the Xbox is going to be the next console, maybe next generation console to come, and it's still selling well.
Pretty good. Going into bat, they've surpassed Sony's crown, haven't they? If you think about it.
Well, they've fended off Sony.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but that could easily swap over.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It is a interesting time in the industry, that is for sure. And I guess that's it for the news quiz, guys.
News quiz is over. Well done to everyone.
Back.
Your dead, so it doesn't matter. Instead, we'll use the solar power.
From the break, and clearly that was not Viva Pinata.
If you like Viva Pinata.
I couldn't do it. I wanted to. We had actually a request from a listener to play it for Valentine's Day because he and his wife actually enjoy it. But
yep.
I couldn't do it just given the amount of rage apparently I was causing by playing that song.
Yeah, but Stu needs to be looking out for the Gangu Crimes remix of Viva Pinata forthcoming soon.
I will welcome that, and if we get that kind of remix, let me just tell you, we'll be playing that.
Can we have a dubstep remix of Viva Pinata?
I think we need to have some iterations.
Viva Pinata. That'd be good.
And this is the point where the podcast just completely goes.
Yeah, we give up with the basket.
The podcast kind of goes downhill from the moment you say welcome to the show.
Oh my god!
It is kind of true though. I can't.
Yeah,
can't completely.
That intro is strong though.
I will say this to Kevin Knight. I'll send you the song. This way, you and your wife can listen to it.
Isn't it? It's not a Palette Swap Ninja song, is it?
Is a Palette Swap Ninja song. I'll send you the link to all their songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what we just heard is there's a zombie in my yard. Yeah. Antonia Phillips sent us that request.
Should do something about that.
You do. You definitely want to do something about that.
So, more Greg.
Yeah, let's
what
talk
do you think
question.
About co-op achievements?
I hate co-op achievements.
All right.
I absolutely do not like multiplayer and co-op achievements. I think
they
are cheap and lazy developer work. I think they throw them on there because it's easy to say, oh, well, we have the co-op game. Well, we'll just force you to play the single-player mission again, but now you have to play it co-op.
So I guess you're overgeneralizing a bit.
Sure. That's what I do.
So certainly I agree with you that, like, the achievement they put in Gears 3 for playing through every mission of the campaign in four-player co-op, I thought was a bit stupid.
Bit of a dick move.
And I ended up doing it because I got it, you know, while there were a lot of people still playing Gears of War 3. And so that, you know, that was all well and good. But now every time they drop a DLC for Gears of War 3, you get, you know, finish the first 10 waves of Horde as 5 of this dude. Or win a multiplayer match as 5 of these dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And those are kind of annoying. They'd be less annoying if I had more friends that played Gears of War 3 and we could all just get together and hammer them out.
But, my brother's still on it.
I know. I'm intimidated by your brothers because they're very serious Gears of War people.
Just one brother.
Your brother and your nephew.
That's right.
Yeah. They're actually not that serious. It's actually quite fun playing with them.
It is, but like they're really into it, and I feel like I'm slowing them down. You know what I'm saying?
They take the fun out of it. They really do. It's like tuck this grenade on the wall for like half an hour and then shoot it. It was like, yeah, great, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, but I think some of the co-op achievements are okay. So like in Splinter Cell Conviction,
yes,
there were achievements for finishing all of those co-op missions. Now, those were fine. It was do this. Same thing in Battlefield 3. Finish the co-op campaign on hard. Okay, fine. It takes two players to do it. You know, it gives you a nice little challenge. You unlock some weapons that you can use in multiplayer. So, you know, sure, fine. No problem.
I guess from my perspective, I always looked at achievements as being a good way to actually put some carrots out and some enhancements for the single-player game. I never felt co-op or multiplayer games needed to have any kind of carrots like that, because the game modes themselves kind of lent themselves to playing with other people.
Yeah.
You know what, Greg? I'm going to put myself on the other side of the fence because I love my multiplayer. And, you know, this 2 on Battlefield 3, what's that again? Because I've still not touched it.
That's the co-op in Battlefield 3.
This 2 is the multiplayer and co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, though...
I know what you're saying.
Playing along with other people and stuff, a lot of the times you don't pick up the single player until a lot later. So it's nice to have things plinking up whilst you're actually playing, like you do in Battlefield a lot. I enjoy it.
I don't mind them as long as they're within reach.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one of the achievements in Halo 3 is to earn MVP in a match-made playlist. Well, I suck at Halo. I'm never going to be the MVP, especially now, because the only people still playing Halo 3 are the diehard Halo 3 people.
Yeah.
See, Chris, you're hitting on kind of part of why I dislike them, because unless these games are hugely popular, the window for playing and getting all your co-op and multiplayer achievements is pretty small. Because the games come, they die off, and suddenly you're like, well, I would love to get 100, or 1,000% on this, 1,000 points in this game, but because nobody else is playing, Dead Island anymore, I can't get any of the stupid co-op achievements anymore.
I don't think the co-op achievements apply to that. I could see your argument on the multiplayer side, but not the co-op.
Yeah, but it's always a reason to regroup. I can remember Mike, a year or so ago, he was playing something daft like Dark Sector. Was it?
Yeah.
And you rummaged together people to get achievements on that?
Did I?
Yeah.
Ridiculous game to rummage people together.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah, sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think there are better ways they could be putting together achievements instead of, especially the, play through single player by yourself. Play through single player with, four or more people type thing, and complete in co-op.
In defense of the Gears of War 3, if you had four people that were dedicated to it, you could play the campaign once and get almost all of them.
Because
you could do the four-player co-op, the two-player co-op, the insane difficulty. Well, no, you couldn't because you had to play casual to unlock insane or whatever, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So you could unlock most of that on one playthrough. You didn't have to play it by yourself and play it co-op.
I think it all equates to how much value you hold these achievements in.
I know
for a fact that I'd never get 100,000 kills and stuff like that in Gears.
Seriously, 3.0. I'm okay with that.
To me, I think like what Chris was saying, if they're reachable, I don't mind. The only thing that I think of is Assassin's Creed multiplayer, where that's a good multiplayer, but I'll never invest any time in it. But Like so that means I couldn't get as many achievements in that game as I'd like. But the flip side to that is when they don't do it, for example, Dead Space 2 didn't have any achievements for their multiplayer. And that was an okay multiplayer. It wasn't fantastic, but it was decent. But because it didn't have any achievements, I didn't really want to play it. I just felt, It's not going to be a dominant multiplayer. It's got no achievements, so I'm not going to carry on playing it. So I think that the games with the weaker multiplayer might have to have some in as long as they're reachable, and the ones with the stronger multiplayer, like Modern Warfare, obviously doesn't really need them.
People buy Modern Warfare for the multiplayer, so they don't need multiplayer achievements.
Yeah.
It's got multiplayer on Modern Warfare has built-in achievements in the prestiging levels and the unlocking all of the stuffs. You know what I'm saying? Like that's in-game type achievement.
That's its own achievement, isn't it? Yeah, that's its own thing. But what I like about what Battlefield does, for example, is it'll give you some achievements where, you know, unlock, kill so many people with this, or, you know, get reach this level. But some of the achievements in Battlefield are like just odd occurrences, you know, like shoot this down with this, or you know, I quite like those kind of random ones. And Left 4 Dead is a good one for that as well, like shoot a hunter with a headshot or something like that. And it's just a random thing. It's very hard to try and get it or grind it. You just have to wait for it to just happen. And I quite like those, even though they're frustrating for people like Chris when they're chasing them. They're very satisfying when you get them.
I like the random ones, and I also like the ones that encourage you to play the game differently. Pick a different class and stuff. So they sometimes lead you into finding something in the game that you wouldn't normally find.
Well, like
play style.
In Battlefield Bad Company 2, there was an achievement for getting each of the four classes to like rank 3 or something.
That's right, yeah.
So you had to try each of the you didn't have to, but they encouraged you to try each of the four classes. But I don't like to play as the recon class because I'm not good at it. I played it long enough to get to rank 3 and get that achievement and verify the fact that I'm not good at it, and then I didn't play it anymore.
But you could have been good at it, but you wouldn't have tried it because you think you're not, you know, or there would have been some feature that you'd be missing out on or something.
And I did find there were some things about the recon class that I was, you know, you had the auto spotting scope and the mortar strike. So if I used that, I could be semi-effective.
And then you discover things like you can switch out for variable weapons and not use a sniper rifle and use the beacons and stuff like that in Battlefield 3, and it completely opens up a different playstyle for you.
Oh, man. Just real quick, we were playing Conquest on Operation Metro the other day, me and Shinyverse and a couple other folks, and we came across this team that when we got there, they all went to recon class with shotguns. And we're like, what are they doing? And they just destroyed us because they did exactly what you're talking about. They had the shotguns for the close quarters battle, but then they put out their respawn beacons and their motion sensors in all the right spots, and we couldn't even get in there to smell the B flag on that. They just focused. That was well done them. 8-Bit Brigade, I believe, was their clan tag.
Okay, keep an eye out for them. All right, let's jump into some of the community. Because clearly I'm in the minority here. I don't know that this is going to change, by the way. I have a feeling most people are siding with you guys. Over at LAG, we had just a couple responses over there.
Yeah, a couple quick responses. We got one from Mudda Trucka, and she says, I think co-op achievements are a great idea. It's a little added incentive for replay value. Plus, what's a better way to get Chivos than with friends dancing banana? They have a lot of emotes over at the LAG site.
Yes, they do.
Ensign Deadmeat had a bit more to say. He says, just look at the indie games. Uh-oh. They have no achievements, and people tend to overlook them and not play them. If indie games had achievements, then people would buy and play them more. I tend to like achievements. I like when the sound plink pops up. It tells me that I have hit a milestone, and I have a feeling of achievement. I believe that's why they call it an achievement. Which is the reason they added them in the first place. Well, that and to add longevity to games, I rather like them. Double exclamation points. However, if you're talking about achievements on the iOS or Android devices, mobile devices, I say bah. I do not need them on a mobile device, as I do not play a mobile device for the same reason. Mobile devices are simply a means to an end, a way to a way to pass small periods of time while you're waiting for the bus or for your friends. I have to agree with that. I have my iPod, my iPad, and my iPhone, and it has Game Center, and Game Center has achievements, but I just can't be bothered with those achievements. I just don't care. Same thing with trophies, though. I don't care. I just can't be bothered about trophies. It's like
I don't want trophies.
Well, I don't mind them, but like, you know, achievements have got their meat hooks in me, and I love getting achievements. I could care less about trophies. If I want to try a game and not have to worry about it messing up my achievement percentage, I play it on the PS3. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but there it is.
I'm definitely less invested in trophies, but, you know, I still kind of get that, like, thing where you're playing a game and you have a look at what they are and you go for them a bit or something. Like, definitely on Uncharted 2, for example, when I played that, I was going for a few trophies on that, you know.
I do think that Xbox needs to steal the Platinum Trophy from PlayStation in some form or other.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think they need a kind of a reorganization of trophies and achievements. Kind of like what we're talking about with DLC, I think that should be counted separately. I don't think
I don't think so.
Absolutely. So, you know, Halo 3, 1,000 points. Okay, great. You 1,000 point that. DLC comes out for that. The DLC should have its own 250 points, and you could 100% that DLC, but it shouldn't add and make now Halo 3 1,250 points. Halo 3 should still be 1,000 points.
That's why I like the Platinum Trophy idea, because if you get all the original trophies, then you get the Platinum Trophy, and then the DLC is just gravy after that. So that's why I like that idea, yeah.
And I want more Avatar t-shirts.
Here's a nightmare scenario. What if they brought a new console out and then they cock it all up and everybody loses all their achievements?
I don't think it's a nightmare scenario that's not going to happen. I think that's a nightmare scenario that's probably going to happen.
I'll cry. I'll just the next podcast after that happens, I'll just weep the whole time.
That cannot happen. That will not happen.
See, I think if Microsoft brings out their next console and everybody loses their achievements, there will be blood.
Now, see, I kind of go back and forth on this, and this is kind of getting away from the thing. But hear me out, Chris. Hear me out. No.
I'm trying for 4 years to get to 100,000 gamer score, and you're telling me next year I'm going to have to buy a new console. If I get to 100,000 gamer score and then you make me buy a new console next year and I start again at zero, I'm going to stab someone. I'm telling you.
But what if they said, for every, say, 10,000 gamer score you had on your previous console, it will now make you in the new console, say, level. So if you had 10,000 points, you're a level 1 now on the new Xbox. But you would start off as level 10, Chris.
No, I don't care about levels. Like, the PlayStation has the levels that you get for the trophies. I don't care.
I think Chris and I
crying.
You want people to see the list of achievements that you have achieved. You know, you take a certain pride in that, and there's no.
Well,
I think
that's still going to be there, but don't.
No,
think
it'll be the same. Obviously, there'll be tweaks and differences, but you'll be able to see it the same because Xbox Live is a separate entity to the Xbox 360. Live existed before the Xbox 360, therefore. It's a completely different thing. I'll just keep going.
You know what it's going to be? You know what it's going to be? It's going to be like this. It'll be CPM 1376, Xbox 360 gamer score 100,000 points. Next box, zero.
And you know, I might be okay with that. I might be okay with that as long as it says that.
As long as it gives you that credit.
As long as there's reverse compatibility, so I can continue to add achievements to the other thing.
Yeah. I don't see why they couldn't do that.
Well, they couldn't do it with the original Xbox, could they?
Well, the original Xbox didn't have achievements.
This is true.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But,
They'll figure it out.
I mean, because they already are doing that in some respects, because they do track how long you've been an Xbox Live Gold member. I'm like a level 8 now or something. I've been on it for a ridiculously long time. So,
you know,
level 7 vegan.
It's going to go across, honestly. think about it, right? Think about all the accounts that have been made on Xbox Live. Yes. There's no way they're going to terminate those and start up a new one. You know, those accounts are going to be across the board. Those accounts that you pay for are going to work on the next Xbox. They don't want you to cancel that and then start a new one. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's everybody. Your gamer tag's safe. Your gamer score's safe. It's all fine.
Hey,
come
Mike.
On, it's not safe in that regard, but, you know, change your passwords, people.
Hey, Mike, we did have some gate people talking up.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. In fact, we had a nice little link to the forum post. I was thinking maybe we could talk a little bit about what they were saying in response to all this nonsense.
You spring this on me now, Greg. You spring this on me now.
Kind of, sort of, not. The whole color coding thing, you know, we've done it for a long time. But that's okay. It's all right. You know, I try to tell you in the Skype chat, too. But, you know, as most people inform me right
back
now.
And, you know.
This is professional podcasting at the best.
We're meeting
on the air.
Parsnip Knows 3000 says on the G4TE forums about this question, he says, I don't think they're lazy at all. If co-op is part of the game, doesn't it make sense that there are achievements for it? Very good answer. The ones I find annoying, though, are the co-op achievements where only the only player who gets the achievement. There are a lot like that in Splittering.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of BS.
That is bullshit, but I think that's kind of in the early days.
Didn't Fable 3 do that? Like, you went in to help people, you didn't necessarily unlock the achievement at the same time? I want to say that was the case. Anyway.
I don't know.
Moving along.
Scott, Chris, go. Chris?
So I was just saying that in Fable 3, if you went in to unlock an achievement with somebody, you both unlocked it.
You both unlocked it, yeah. Well, yeah, I remember that. SS Spence 13, or Scott, says, I don't like them because I dislike co-op in games, but otherwise I don't find them lazy. What I really hate are achievements for competitive multiplayer games. Those blow.
See, Yummy Bacon, you and I, we're almost talking the same language. Almost.
Marco35s, he's still rocking that name, and has the same GIF in his signature for probably like 6 years. I'm looking at
it. Well, it does cost $10 US to change your gamer tag, and that GIF is hilarious.
It is a good GIF.
I hate cats, so anytime I can see a cat being abused, I'm down with it.
Send your hate mail to Christopher Matthew.
I'm kidding. I love all animals.
Except for cats. Mark says, co-op I'd like, but after multiplayer achievements lead to boosting. Also, slightly unhinged, developers get you to shoot get you to shoot for near impossible. I'll talk to you, Ubisoft, on the GRAW number one in the world achievement.
Yeah, that one, those three leaderboard achievements were ridiculous. There's still somebody on GRAW who views it as their job to not let anyone get that achievement. They reset the GRAW 1 leaderboards a few months ago because they were like, this is ridiculous. And the same guy immediately went way to the top again so no one could get it. It's like this one dude who's like, no one else is going to have this achievement. So,
I just like hearing you say that, Chris. That was good.
I know. Dino
leaderboard achievements.
Yeah, they're stupid. The Dino says, co-op achievements with friends? Yes. Multiplayer achievos? Definitely no. Nothing but a cheap ploy to keep you grinding away online on a game you would otherwise have traded. And Jamie76 says, I say yes to all achievos if you look at Battlefield 3. Oh, you stopped reading. If you look online achievos are sensible. Jamie76, if you stop the online achievos as a sensible point, i.e. no achievos for a colonel, 100 star, service star, but achievo for the first time you rank to colonel, then they're worth getting, but not a massive grind. I agree with Jamie.
Okay.
Yes, I too agree with Jamie.
Well, we also had an email from Mr. Steve Conger. Whoa. He actually answered this last week. Steve shot over this and said, greets, dudes. So you've already gotten my thoughts on anti-used game hardware. So here's a little more to generate some conversation over Greg's issue with co-op achievements. As if you hadn't already guessed, I'm going to fall squarely on the fence on the topic. I'm fairly sure the argument can be expanded to not just co-op, but all multiplayer achievements and or trophies. Do you like that? Chiming? Scenario number one. I buy a brand new bargain bin copy of a title 5 years after release. Is it fair that I cannot 1000/platinum the game because no one is playing it any longer? Okay, maybe that's a bad example. But what if, in say, an extended console life cycle, said game no longer has servers supported by a publisher? Metal Gear Online. In this case, multiplayer rewards are bad. Like it, Steve. Good, good. It says, but that's not always the case. I'm a firm believer that in-game reward systems should be well thought out enough to be a roadmap of sorts as to a roadmap of sorts to a piece of software's content. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to add in a really adequate list of achievements or trophies to a game. Not only should you let it reward the player for experiencing everything you've intended them to, but it also needs to give out a slew of them in the beginning and taper off by the end. And it gets to scenario number two. You've developed a game, and through extensive playtesting, you find that its systems for allow for emergent actions that were never intended to be. Guess what? They actually turn out to be fun. I love these sorts of trophies and achievements that make you say, I can actually do that. This is probably a bad example, but in Resident Evil 5, there's a reward for meleeing a Mahjong back and forth, ping-ponging him between you and a co-op partner. This isn't really emergent, per se, but you get my meaning. I think we all get his meaning. Yeah. So, in summary, I think that competitive multiplayer achievements are more of an abomination than the co-op ones. Most of the time, co-op is only with one other person, and that's fairly easy to plan. The same cannot be said about the multiplayer ones. If, by chance, the people would still be playing said game, who's to say that the server will still even be online? Enjoy my two cents, and take care. Steve, JSS Lifelike.
I've got one to add there. And it's not a multiplayer one, but I just love unwrapping a copy of Call of Duty, and then as soon as I start playing it, trying to throw myself off the highest point possible. Because they always have that achievement.
That challenge. Four more. Yeah.
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 Yeah. All in there.
All right, well, thank you for the emails. Thank you for the forum responses from everybody. Good debate. Well.
EA. Steve talks about the servers. EA are terrible about that. They're closing servers all the time.
Yeah, though their sports franchises get shut down pretty regularly.
The other one I hate are the, here's an achievement for getting all the other achievements, which exists in a few games.
Isn't that a platinum, though?
Well, so, a platinum trophy is a little bit different, I guess, because it's a PlayStation thing. Like, so take Fallout 3, for example. To get the Platinum Trophy in Fallout 3, you have to get all the trophies, which are exactly the same as all the achievements in the original Fallout 3 game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is the same. But
an Xbox equivalent would be, if you got 1,000 game scores, like, there'd be like a little star logo on that game.
And I'd be fine with that. But what I'm talking about is, there's 49 achievements in the game or whatever. And achievement number 49 is rewarded to you immediately after you unlock the 48th achievement of all the rest of them.
Brilliant.
Which I'm surprised you didn't say the 49th achievement or the 50th achievement was for unlocking the 49th.
Or whatever. and I'm thinking specifically of an example that was an epic fail in terms of coding. It was one of the Disney games. I didn't play this one, but I read about it. There were 22 achievements in the game, and the 22nd achievement in the game was unlock all the other achievements. But whoever wrote the code for unlock the achievement basically says, when achievement account equals 22, unlock this achievement.
But you can't, so you can't get it.
Right. And the developer, or not the developer, but the publisher of that game, or maybe the developer, one or the other, ceased to exist shortly after release. So there's no patch ever coming. So if someone like me were to play that game, they could never get that achievement ever, ever, ever.
Well, that's I think Without Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway had an achievement for playing the game on a specific date.
And it released a week after that date, yeah.
So, yeah, things like that. Anyway, all right,
yeah.
Enough. Let's talk about next week's question. Chris?
Yeah, I'll introduce it. This question because I have a bit of OCD, and sometimes I latch onto an idea and I can't let go of it. So my current idea that I can't let go of is, how do we define the genre of role-playing game? There's been a lot of talk with the release of the Mass Effect 3 demo about Mass Effect losing its role-playing identity. So my question to the listeners, and I've already put it out there on the forum, and some people have responded, but my question to the listeners is, what does it take to call a game a role-playing game?
Yep. This is going to lead to massive debates, and I guarantee another lengthy email from Mr. Conger.
It's okay.
Resident RPG aficionado.
He should make a podcast that like kind of concentrates on the RPG genre a little bit more.
That would be pretty incredible. I bet he could call it something like The Gamesman or something.
That's a stupid name.
Yeah, probably.
What role will you play on The Gamesman? God. I hope no one makes that.
I hope no one makes that too.
Oh, wait, he did. But it's a fine podcast though, Greg.
It is. It is a fine podcast. So, yeah, now is about time when we usually start talking about community play dates and birth dates and all that kind of good stuff. And, well, Mr. Matthew, this is where usually I have you much more prepared for what you're supposed to be doing than what I have you currently.
Oh, man, what are you doing?
Hey, well, then go for it, dude. Let's talk community play dates.
All right, so talking community play dates. This show comes out on Wednesday, so the next thing we have happening is Friday Night Racing, Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, Forza 4. Saturday, the F1 2011 tournament continues. Sunday, mini racing in Forza 4 continues. I'm assuming the veterangamers.co.uk. It's an awesome website. You should check it out. We'll have a play date.
I can't remember what it is.
Excellent. There will be something, though.
Something
And then next week, as in 7 days from today or 6 days from when you're listening to this, if you listen to it when we release it, 21 February will be the next iteration of Two for Tuesday on the Battlefield, hosted by Shinyverse. That starts at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and again at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Wednesday evening, the 22nd of February, CP, that's me, will be hosting co-op night with Iron Brigade. So if you want to get out your mech and trash some TVs, come on out and join in.
Still haven't tried that.
Now you have an excuse.
Nice.
So that's what's going on in the community for the next week. So if you don't have anybody to play games with, it's your own damn fault. Happy birthday this week to Filthy, Mad Mikey, Iron Hammers. Oh, these are last week's birthdays, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. So I'll help you out. I'll take care of the birthdays. If you want to take care of the new members.
Yeah,
Take care of the new members. You can take care of the birthdays. Take your pick.
I got the birthdays.
Okay, all right. Go for it.
So happy birthday to Old School 75, Saracen Prince, Mambo Dancer, Ziggy, Wolverine, Shark Tremor, and Epic Lou this week before we record the next podcast.
Happy birthday, all of you.
And we'll actually go ahead and throw in the Stickman and Nathan's Rider because their birthdays are next Tuesday while we're recording the podcast.
Well, there
happy
you go.
To you too.
And we do have a couple new members. Namely, Craig. Just Craig.
Craig and, from Craigslist.
Craig DeClacy.
Oh, no. And Alibaba's Camel. Yeah, new members. Congratulations.
Welcome.
Welcome, indeed.
Why?
Why is a question to ask.
Why ask why?
Why ask why? We do have a community spotlight. Parsnip was kind enough to actually send this over from his phone. So,
oh, cool.
Audio quality, well, you know, there we go.
Hello, this is Parsnip Nose again with another community spotlight. This week, I'd like to congratulate David the Alien for clinching the G4TE F1 2011 tournament. Well done, David, you big rotten bast. Oh, I mean, congratulations. I'm very happy for you, which of course I am, really. Anyway, I'll see you next week for another spotlight.
I think he was killing a dog in the background.
Yeah.
Don't you think Parsnip sounds like one of them 70s community information adverts you used to get?
Oh, yeah.
With all the fuzziness. That's very good. I like that. Can we have a green Costco message next week, Mr. Parsnip?
Remember, stop, look, and listen.
Charlie says, never go out with your turnips on fire.
Speaking of turnips on fire, Mike, if you were going to send an email to the show, where would you send that email to?
The internet.
To the show, Mike, not to the internet. To the show.
Right. You'd send it to ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
That's good. Thank you, Mike.
ocpodcast@gmail.com.
You can stop now. This is kind of the time of the podcast where we quiz guest hosts, figure out who's still awake. Richard Primrose just apparently collapsed into the microphone, into his computer.
No, damn it, I'm going to make it to the end of this one.
Congratulations.
Well done. You've got somebody constantly punching him onto the left.
Oh, Rich, the whole Twitter thing. You love the Twitter. If you wanted somebody to send this show a tweet,
they'd be going straight to their keyboards and pressing OC_podcast with an @ at the front.
They would. And Mr. Matthew. Mr. Matthew, you tested
I'm
out.
Ron Burgundy?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
You tested out the voice line today.
I was waiting on you to ask me what you wanted me to ask me.
I'm asking you, if you were to call, leave us a voicemail, how would you go about doing that?
Well, it works. I checked it out. If you call 626-506-2763, that's 626-50-OC-POD from your cellular phony, you can leave us a voicemail. It works. Try it out. I even called the Gamesman last week, and that works too.
Yeah. Don't be shy. Just drop us a line. Yep. iTunes and Zune reviews, of course, continue to drop them because we still have at least a few more codes, I think. And I guess that's...
You can find the phone line from a UK mobile phone.
This is true.
You have to dial in 001 626 506-2763.
And I would recommend check with your carrier first and make sure you do have the international
£50 an hour.
Free dial thing.
Please get your parents' consent before you call.
Yes.
If not...
For example, I asked my dad and he said, what the fuck are you talking about? But I still got his permission to do so, even though it's my contract.
Hey, Mike.
And he had no idea.
If you were going to maybe... shout out somebody like Ron Burgundy or, you know, give a shout out for the show.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Yep.
Would you have anybody in mind?
Yes. I have a YouTube channel I'd like to shout out.
Okay.
It's called John Tron. If you typed in John Tron in YouTube, it's a very funny man and he has a bird that sounds like a robot, a real bird that sits on his shoulder. That has laser eyes and has a robot voice. And he's brilliant. He's really good, very funny, and he just kind of talks about his latest video was Home Improvement, the video game for the Super Nintendo, and how, like, you play as Tim Allen and you go back to prehistoric times, and very amusing. So if you want something to watch game-related on YouTube, that's not Freddie Wong these days. Go to John Tron. He's a very funny guy.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll pass on more shout-outs to Richard Primrose.
I'd like to say, A up me duck, Giza Krogge to Giles Cudmore, just because he asked me to say that.
A up me duck.
I honestly think I just heard, like, Latin. That's the way that came across.
A up me duck, here are my puddings.
Who else have I got to shout out? Not me. Black Keys. I don't know if anybody read my shout outs last week, but Black Keys.
I went to see the Black Keys.
Did you?
Yeah.
You know when I was missing from the Veteran Gamers?
Oh, did you go and watch it? Yeah.
I was in Manchester watching the Black Keys.
Good, aren't they?
And Rich, we did read out your shout outs last week.
Yeah. It was great. I was there on a Friday night, 3 rows back from the front, wrecking with the students. Brilliant. Loved it.
Everything's bad.
Yeah, they are. Excellent. Band of Skulls were good as well. Did you get them? Supporting?
Yes, we did. Yeah, they were very good, yeah.
Yeah, they're all right. Yeah, so that's it from me. I'm sure I've got more that I forgot from last week, but I can't remember.
Okay. Can
somebody tell me what happened last week?
You fell
something.
Asleep.
Yeah. Whitney Houston died. That's what happened last week.
Oh, all right. Yes, yes. Let's not talk about the sad. Chris, why don't you go?
Let's bring that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to shout out to Cybernaut for jumping in and helping me out with the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer demo. We had a good run at it. We'll have to try to get it, try it again. I'm not sure how much more time I'm going to spend in the multiplayer demo because I don't think the XP is going to carry over into the title when I buy it. And so what's the point in spending too much time in it?
Fair enough.
But it was good to try it out. And our Facebook fan of the week this week is David Brown, otherwise known as David the Alien. Congratulations.
Alien.
If you would like to be our Facebook fan of the week, all you have to do is subscribe to our Facebook page and make a comment on our wall, and the stick man may select you as the Facebook fan of the week.
Right, which is
Facebook fan of the week.
The G4TE Facebook page.
Yes, the Gaming for the Elderly Facebook page.
Yes.
Which is also our page because we're the official podcast of the Gaming for the Elderly community.
I just don't like to confuse people because we are the Overseas Connection, but we are for the game. Yeah, never mind. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Is that it, Chris?
That's it.
Hey, you never guess who I heard from. Big Smooth.
Who?
Smooth 8?
Big Smooth 8 sent us a comment on our YouTube video because, hey, guess what? All our podcasts now on YouTube.
Nice.
You joking?
No.
Hey,
full
hey.
Podcast. You can watch it on YouTube. Now, there's not much to watch, mind you. It's just the logo. But if you're having a hard time loading it up on iTunes and all you have access is to YouTube, then, hey, you can find us there. And Big Smooth found us there. And his comment, who let the dogs out? And I don't have a response to that, Big Smooth. But damn it, good to hear from you. Now leave us a voicemail. A big shout out to Mosher Angel, your son and his milestone. It was awesome to hear that. And just big congratulations to you. I want to shout out The Walking Dead because it has started back up again. And so good. So good. If you're not watching The Walking Dead, you should be. And
that should be on Friday night of Rare then.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, it will be coming to you a little bit late, but hey, happy Hallmark Day from all of us to you. We're done. We're out of here.
Oh, I get it. Hallmark Day with the cards.
The end.
Okay, so Rich just said he's going to be about 20 minutes to start if you want. I'll be with you shortly.
Oh, yeah, he did text me that.
Now you tell me that?
Yep. Going to be 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 mins. Because my mum's watching the
That's
movie.
Right. What am I doing?
You can start without me, and I'll join you if you want.
Stepping in admirably for me last week for the intro, Mr. Chris Kong. Fuck.
Oh, my God.
I was looking at an email from Steve Conger. I'm all, Chris Conger.
That was not right there.
No.
I think you should start the whole thing again.
Chris J.J. Hutton, who I believe we used to call Callie O35s, posted a picture of it was Amy Winehouse and Whitney Houston.
Oh, God.
And then on the bottom was Charlie Sheen. And the little quotation said, silly bitches, only I can do that much cocaine.
Fucking hell.
That's wrong. Oh.
Wrong, but hilarious.
Yes. All right.
Anyway.
So, that said, we got to go on hold because Mr. Primrose jumped off the call.
Okay.
What, Rich?
Did you get my message about going to see Liam Bailey because he's over in America?
No, I did not get your message about going to see Liam Bailey over in America.
Is Liam Bailey on the podcast?
No.
All right.
No. Just craziness.
He's singing in America now, in L.A.
Wait a minute. No, I did.
You, is it?
No, yeah, actually it is. I did get that, and that's why I dismissed it. LA is about 8 hours drive.
That far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
California's long.
If it gets any closer to you, I'll let you know.
Thanks.
So what am I looking at? Is San Francisco close?
San Francisco is definitely close to me. It's about 45 minutes away.
Oh, okay. Right. I'll see if he's going that way as well then.
You do that.
And I want you to go to the pub that he's playing in and go, hey, I know somebody from Nottingham that knows you.
Richard Primrose says, you're a dick.
Yeah, that'll be good.
He asked for an autograph and you said no.
I tell you what, I've just took my watch apart and took all the dry skin out of it. I can't believe how much dry skin you get out of your watch. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to go vomit now.
I know.
That, the only person who should ever take anything out of your belly button should be your Undertaker.
That's a tip for life, that is, Chris.
It should be like that. 90 years worth of shit in your belly button when you die.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Videos are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.